Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's Cow Weekly with your boy, Mike Cow. Going full. Yeah. Let's get into it, guys, and bring in the. It's not working. Are you there? Did you hear?
Yeah.
Did you hear us when I was talking there?
A little bit.
Connections a bit shit. Do us a favor. Do us a favor, right? Talk. I'm gonna go to open the door, and I think it might actually help because I've got one of those TP links next to the door, and I'll just open it. Oh. 2 seconds.
Okay. Well, that is an absolutely tremendous start to tonight's show. Yeah, just one of them things, isn't it? Where I think we've both got like dicey internet. That does seem a little bit better, I've got to say.
I think it worked, yeah. It's like, it works, because obviously we've just set up this new studio space and it's trying to run it properly and see if it works properly and whatever. But yeah, it's just one of them, isn't it? Bit of teething trouble, but we're back.
It was one of those where it just like everything froze. I was like, I'm not sure if I'm meant to be talking right now.
Yeah, well, I was talking, so God knows what that will have done to the recording, but we'll see. Who cares? It's working solid now, so let's boost on. Right, everybody, hello. People are letting me know that you're there in the comments already. Please continue to do that. Let me know you're about. Also, if you would, please share the stream. Let people know that we're around and tell a friend to tell a friend. That would be cool. If you want to support our work, please go to patreon.com/cowdaily or go to the links in the description for the PayPal if you want to make one-off donation. Thank you very much. This week, we're talking about immigration for the most part of the show, but we're starting it with Matt Hancock. How can we not?
How can we not? Yeah. I nearly brought up my dinner this afternoon, which is when I learned of the news. Yeah, so should we?
Do you want to say a bit of Hancock? Well, just for a bit of scene setting, this is what's happening. Matt Hancock has whipped suspended after agreeing to join I'm a Celebrity as contestant. A source close to Matt Hancock has said his stint on the show, an incredible opportunity for him to engage with the public. Really? So, do you want us to just play the video that you sent us? Or do you want to tell us your thoughts first? What do you want?
What do you want? We'll watch the video in a second, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think like Matt Hancock had been going, that he's, yeah, obviously he has been, had the whip suspended, and he's saying like he wants to go on to I'm a Celebrity to make politicians look, to show the public that politicians are human or something like that. I'm like, mate, are you really, really the best person to be doing that? So yeah, shortly after this news came out, I think I first saw it on like Twitter or something. Then I was eating lunch and like the BBC News came on and they were talking about it. You know, when you just like hear something and you have to record it because
yes,
you have to prove to yourself that you did actually hear that on the lunchtime news. So yeah, this is what it was.
Well, you want us to just play it?
Yeah, I think we should play
cool.
It.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Just a little asterisk next to it. The sound quality is not great, but I've boosted a little bit. So
that is because it is me holding my phone and pointing it at the television.
Great. but what you don't know is I've got another clip to play soon after. But we'll play this one first.
He needs at least some of his fee to charity, we're told, and wants to help get the Prime Minister and the government's message across to younger voters. But Downing Street have clearly taken a bit of a dim view, saying that it's unlikely the Prime Minister will be tuning in to watch, adding that MPs should be out working hard on behalf of their constituents. Now, some are seeing a funny side. The Deputy Chair of Matt Hancock's local Conservative Association said, "I'm looking forward to him eating a kangaroo's penis."
Every time. Every time.
Isn't that a mental image that everybody wants? Other thing,
what, Matt Hancock changing down on a kangaroo's wang?
Yeah, definitely.
I'd like to see it if it was still attached.
What, just
you imagine it, it'd box him up a good one, wouldn't it?
just watch him get knocked out. Yeah, I mean, Nadine Dorries did it. She went on to I'm a Celebrity as well, and I think she ate like queen. An ostrich. Yeah, she went, fucking stop calling her that. I think she ate an ostrich's asshole or something like that. Yeah, it doesn't... yeah, they keep doing it. They keep going on thinking, oh, yes, it's, you know, the public are going to love me when they see me just as I am. And nobody does. I think it was Robert Kilroy Silk. Was he one of the other ones that was an Edwina?
Listen, you're talking to the wrong guy here. I don't watch shite like that and haven't. The last reality show I watched, like, properly was possibly Big Brother Series 1. And I went into it as some kind of like, oh, this would be a really amazing social experiment. And in some respects it was, because the people didn't know how big it would be. It was from Season 2 when it just went to shit, you know? Because it was people going, I can be famous for being famous.
Yeah, I mean, I've never watched a full episode of it before, ever. But I still know that Robert Kilroy Silk was on it, and Edwina Curry as well. I think she was like another one that was on. It's just like, I think they've got a bit of an overinflated idea of like how likable they actually are. And the fact that, you know, obviously Matt Hancock's basically implying that, you know, people can't see politicians as human, like when they're just doing their normal job, maybe says more about politicians and the way they are. But
I tell you what I'll be doing. What I'll be doing is ringing in and texting in every time it's time to eat a kangaroo's wanger and getting Hancock chowing down like a good one. And I'll be voting to keep him in. I'd keep Peter Sutcliffe in over him. I want him to stay in right until the end and then lose. And then it just like, or they have this like end of Scooby-Doo grand reveal where it's like, it was all us. Fuck you, Hancock. What about all those people that died in the pandemic?
Yeah, well, that's it. People are really, really angry about it. If you don't know who he is, obviously not everybody who tunes in is from the UK. He was the former health secretary, who basically he ended up being sacked. They said it was because he'd come out that he'd had an affair and had been flouting the rules, that he'd been, you know, really outraged, you know, other people who'd, you know, been caught breaking them as well. And obviously, you know, tens of thousands of people hundreds of thousands now have died as a result of the pandemic.
And continue to die too. The pandemic is far from over.
And we know that, you know, Downing Street in Westminster was like the fucking Hacienda during all of that time.
It was like the maize prison in the 90s when like the UVF and the IRA used to get cowies smuggled in, and it was just rave central every weekend. That's what it was like in Downing Street during the pandemic, the lockdowns, apparently.
So he ended up being sacked allegedly for that. But really, if you kind of hear any whispers that come from Westminster, or even if you just use your own eyes to watch how other like MPs act around him, he was always there as the fall guy. We said it for like years before it actually happened. You can tell that he's not well liked.
Can I show you why I think you're right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Just real quick. Here it comes. Not literally. I mean, 2019 seemed like, I don't think it's right to say like more naive times or golden times at all. But as we can see via the circle, and if we go a little closer, we can see it's moved. And I don't know if you remember this, like you could actually see it move on live television.
Oh, God.
Can I just point something out here? Not literally, like Hancock there.
Please, I think you've pointed quite enough out.
Hear me out. He gave the excuse, right, that he was tired. And and you will not know this, right? But anybody who has a penis knows that, especially if you're hungover and tired, morn and glory. However, I've never had that happen in public while I'm wearing viscose slacks and I'm on national television, stood next to a woman.
Yeah, just because there's
a that's never happened. It's like, in bed when you're on a come down or something, it's like, whoa, what's it coming to go? What's happening here? What's the story, Morning Glory, isn't it? He's getting Morning Glory when he's out on the campaign trail, man.
Yeah, well, it's just because he's just next to a woman. I'd actually forgotten clean about that, you know. It was, I think I was only just... there.
I'm going to keep talking just in case you...
I can hear you, but you've kind of, your face is frozen with your eyes half open, and I don't know if you can hear me. I'm going to keep talking. I've got no idea if you or anybody else can hear me. No. Oh, this is, at least it hasn't frozen on Matt Hancock's penis with a red circle around it, because that would have been even worse and more awkward than this is. Sorry, folks, if you can hear me. Not sure what to do. I'm just going to wait and see. Hi, Mike. Right. If anybody can still hear me, I'm going to switch my phone just in case he rings me here. Oh, great. It's just me. Hi. I'm just switching my phone back on. I would even take some comments at this time, but I can't even do that because I don't have access to that. So let's just see what happens. Right. I'm really sorry, everybody, if you can hear this. We do seem to have gone off, and I'm going to leave the show now, and we might be back very soon once we set up another link. Bye.
Hello, can you hear and see us? Is this a thing?
Yeah.
I put my headphones back on.
I was just chatting shit for ages.
Are you there?
And I've got no idea if they could hear me or not. But I was like, maybe you'll come back in a second.
I think it was still working, but I don't know. So
find out in the comments, because they'll have just like heard me like rambling on. if they could hear me.
Robert Grady's saying you're back. Laz is in, 5x5. Jacqueline, yes, we're back. Right, we're in a new studio space, and I'm going to have to do something with this fucking link because it seems to be not working. I've unplugged it and plugged it back in, so I'm hoping that's turning it on and turning off again is going to work. But guess what? I'm going to be burning the midnight oil getting this editing done, so I'm going to have to weld these fuckers together. Lush.
Well,
brilliant.
I'm absolutely horrified that... Matt Hancock's dick basically broke the live stream.
I tell you what might break my liberty. What we've got here, right, is Matt Hancock. And these are the names of the files. Here's the one I've just played. Hancock Kangaroo Penis. That's the name of the file.
Great.
Magic, isn't it? But I tell you what's good. Hopefully this stays solid, because obviously the main item we're doing for the most part on the show is about immigration. So maybe if we can pull this all in together, then it might work. It might work properly. But anyway, please go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/cowdaily to make a regular contribution to our work. If you'd like to go to the PayPal link in the description, you can make a one-off donation to our work, which would be brilliant. And will get us out of a life of indentured servitude, hopefully. Right. One more comment before we crack on. StreamYard seems to be back on it. here we go. Yes, it looks like Storm has given up on Paul's internet and gone on to yours. That's Mark Lungley. Hi, Mark. He's probably about. Anyway, right. Here is a video that you've not seen, but I want to play you. Check it out.
I chose not to do it. I didn't think people in Lichfield would be overimpressed with my disappearing off to Mount Tambourine, which is where they near where they film it, in a beautiful part of Australia, which I know very well. But, you know, at the end of the day also, I'm a bit of a vegan, only I had steak last night. But what I mean by that is I'm not really into eating offal. I can't stand the idea of, you know, eating chicken liver or chopped liver or something like that. It turns my stomach. So the idea of eating a kangaroo's anus rather turned me off a little.
How is he even, like, how is it? I know, I remember reading somebody making a comment once about how is he not a Harry Enfield character? And, like, I can't get that out of my head every time I see Michael Fabricant on screen.
He's a wrong'un. Also, patrons will know the Laura Pidcock podcast went out for patrons the other day. It's out tomorrow for everybody else. And I probably shouldn't have done it, but I did ask her a question about Michael Fabricant. And you should probably tune into it to find out what I said.
I definitely will.
Sorry, Laura. She's a serious politician, and like, it's not a great look for her. But thanks, Laura. just is hilarious, to be fair. She laughed along, so that's all you want. I've also managed to get all the bloody slides, well, a lot of the slides, back into this. After the big crash. So that's good, because that was a hell of a lot of bloody work, and that would have been a shame if we'd lost those. So shall we go on to the immigration bit? Do you want that?
Yeah.
I think that's probably best, because the internet seems solid. We've got the man Hancock. Mad Hancock. Do you want to know what, before we do, though, I've got to tell you what the file name is for the Fabricant one. Fabricant kangaroo is anus.
Excellent. Like, what time to be alive that you can put them words together and it makes sense.
What a time to fucking preempt it and burn your hard drive, more like. Hancock kangaroo penis and Fabricant kangaroo anus. If that's not putting you on a watch list, I don't know what is.
Oh, you're already on a watch list, Petal.
I know, and only the best people are, aren't they? So anyway, immigration. It's a hot topic again. It's the crisis taken off the shelf of the week, and it overlaps with all the other crises, and it's really happening, but we want to try and put some perspective on it tonight, don't we? We want to try and, like, just wrap some, like, facts and some rationalism around it, as well as, like, you know, go to bat for vulnerable people in some respects because of those facts, because propaganda proliferates and prevails, does it not? So let's pull the seams out of the propaganda and give them a slap of boot in that. You're in, he's up for it. Happy days. Right, well, let me play this Suella refugees video. And let's respond to it, yes?
Indeed. For the error. But let's be clear about what's really going on here, Madam Deputy Speaker. The British people deserve to know which party is serious about stopping the invasion on our southern coast and which party is not. Some 40,000 people have arrived on the south coast this year alone. Many of them facilitated by criminal gangs, some of them actual members of criminal gangs. So let's stop pretending that they are all refugees in distress. The whole country knows that that is not true.
Wolf, talk to me. What you got to say?
She is one of the most spiteful, vicious bastards I've ever come across. And that's like, you know, that's even for...
Seconds.
Can you hear me? Hello? Oh, no, it's gone again.
Talk to me, man.
Yeah, I can hear you. It's just your picture's gone now.
Right, we're back anyway. Basically, the internet's just having a mare here. Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do about it. Let's just plow on. And it seems to have kicked back in. It's all right now. Let's crack on. I've got two systems. I've swapped it to the other one. I'm hoping that's going to work better. So anyway, apologies everybody out there for the technicals, but I'll have it fixed by tomorrow, so don't worry about it. We'll just bash on tonight there.
Yeah. So Suella Braverman is like really one of the most spiteful, vicious bastards you will come across. And that is really saying something for the Conservative Party. In fact, she is so bad that the MP, Roger Gale, even tore into her earlier on today. And Roger Gale is a Conservative MP as well. So he's somebody who is within her own party. There's a couple of things that have kicked all of this off. The first one, it was a big news story for what felt like about 12 minutes or something, and then just turned into a media excuse to bash asylum seekers and refugees. It started off because a British man who has now been named as Andrew Leake, age 66, drove to the Dover Migrant Centre and threw three petrol bombs, some kind of what they have been described as crudely made incendiary devices, which luckily didn't take hold in the building. I don't think he managed to really get that near it. He did manage to injure two members of staff when he did that, and then he drove off and killed himself. So basically, somebody has gone to the migrant centre with the intent, you know, the intent of causing serious harm and death to the people inside. It's not being treated as a terror incident at the minute, despite a few things coming out in the media about Andrew Leake. I think more there'll be more on that in the coming days once more information is gathered about that. And yeah, it's just, I thought that it was going to turn into like a conversation about, you know, right-wing extremism and, you know, the fact that somebody did, you know, try to murder people. You know, there's, you know, not that you should be trying to kill anybody, but there's kids in there as well, you know, and that's ultimately what he was trying to do. And it just turned into this whole thing of, you know, the migrants crossing the channel and, you know, just really some of the most abhorrent racism I've seen recently as well. From there, there's been lots come out. There's been an inspection done on Manston Migrant Centre, which is currently got about 4,000 people in it. Mm-hmm. And the conditions are said to be absolutely abhorrent. There's infection outbreaks in there. There's been kids filmed like shouting freedom like over the fences.
Yeah, I saw that, man.
And people sleeping on cardboard instead of mattresses. And again, it's just this whole thing of, you know, oh well, they shouldn't be coming here in the first place, and you know, just really kind of saying some awful things about displaced people. And we had a local councillor, I think, who was on TV as well, which was one of the most car crash interviews I've ever seen in my life, Councillor Collar. And it's really funny actually when you watch local councillors on TV, because they haven't had the same level of media training as what MPs have on shows, and it's just this really awkward bumbling interview. It's hilarious. But he's basically kind of going, you know, being asked some questions about what do you think of, you know, what do people, you know, kind of in Kent think about the situation? And he's just basically going about migrants crossing the channel, not about the guy who just tried to kill a bunch of people and then drove off. And it was just horrible. And, you know, when you just like sat watching your television going like, what the fuck even is this? You know, and it was the line of questioning from the reporters. It was the answers that were being given. And it's just, it you know, when you're just kind of watching the news and it just leaves, it's not even so much what's being reported. It's about the way it's being reported. And
I certainly do. I mean, that's the fucking that's the fucking news, basically. The news seems to be designed to make you want to have a bath afterwards, scrub yourself a bit, you know what I mean? It's fucking grim. I don't think it's designed in any way to uplift. I mean, there's plenty of positive news stories out there, but it's an intentional strategy I would put forward for the so-called, definitely all the factions of the establishment to mess with our heads. Mm-hmm. So this week's crisis is migrants. Last week's was climate change, Prime Minister Truss, et cetera, et cetera. Sunak coming in, Sunak being... You get my point. It's just this constant overlap and stream designed to keep our brains overloaded. So all of the stuff we can focus on keeps us busy. And then all of the other shit that they're doing, we haven't even got time for. We don't even know what's going on because our brains can't take it. Mm-hmm. That seems to me what's going on.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Can I just add a bit of weight to that? Like one of the central threads I've been putting through some of the Cow Daily stuff is like Steve Bannon, the movement, the International Fascist Network. Now, obviously, we're on the subject of immigration and this goes back, well, certainly the rhetoric around it, which we'll be introducing more of later in the show too. But I wanted to show something, and there's two things to point out here. It's Farage and Steve Bannon, and it's Farage looking like this proper little simp while Bannon sort of massages his ego because he wants to manipulate him. But think of the level that Bannon is at. For those who don't know, haven't seen any of the previous shows, Steve Bannon is one of the founders of Breitbart. He was the main advisor to Donald Trump and was arguably behind him getting elected. And also he was on the board of Cambridge Analytica. Anyway, this is Farage and Bannon a few years ago.
What I'd like to do is set up something and I'll fund it somehow that I think you're the perfect guy. We help knit together this populist nationalist movement throughout the world. Because guys in Egypt are coming to me, the Modi's guys in India, Duterte, you know, and we get Orban and even thing, and we're somehow some sort of convening authority for conferences and stuff like that, so we can get ideas out there. I mean, do you think that's a worthwhile thing?
Yeah, or
you think,
it's unlikely.
Nobody's got it. Nobody's doing it right now.
It's not being done.
The reason we're going to beat Corbyn and Sanders is they're not prepared to take on the powers that be. We're fire breathers. I mean, we're taking on the establishment every day. You've taken on the Tory Party. Yep. I'm taking on the Republican Party. Yeah. They don't have that, and that's why we can steal a march on them. And the reason they don't want to do it, it's immigration. As long as they don't take on the immigration, they just refuse to take on the immigration. We're prepared to take it on.
Yes.
It's a global revolt. It's a zeitgeist. We're on the right side of history. But it's going to need the motive power. And the thing that's missing is, that's what I'm really trying to put together now, is the ideas. The ideas have to come in more sharp focus. The economic ideas, the political ideas.
You've also moved, Steve, into a different place.
Yeah.
The minute you stood up on that stage in Alabama, you became a different figure.
Yeah.
You're in a different place now. You're not just fixing stuff and operating behind the scenes and making it happen.
Yeah.
You're now the face of it.
Well done, Bannon. Well done, Breitbart. You helped with this hugely.
Look at the boat race on the pair of them. Look at the face on the man. Like, just completely the, like, cackling stereotype evil.
What are your
thoughts about that?
Well, apart from the fact that I think Steve Bannon is basically a potato that was left in a petri dish with a swastika and late stage syphilis. again, a really gross human, like a literal white supremacist with nothing to back it up. You look at
well,
it.
Quite nice.
You know, but no, he's quite a sinister character. He's, you know, he was very instrumental, in a lot of the things that the Trump administration did before he kind of fell in and out of favor with them. But like that clip there, as you say, it was just like two chinless fascists basically just like talking quite openly, talking like it's got to the point where they're not even hiding it, talking quite openly about what they want to do and how they're going to manipulate things to do it. And yeah, talking about everything like it's just a fucking game when it's actually, you know, it's actually ordinary people's lives that the kind of things that they will be planning will ultimately have an effect on.
Well, indeed. And I think my takeaway from that and some of the research I've been doing is, like, it's pretty clear who is behind a lot of these wedge issues that have turned into a wider culture war, and that's Bannon and his cronies. They've got the data and they know what winds people up, and they certainly know what winds the base up. And as I keep impressing on people, certainly of late, people going to bat for their interests, like Bannon, etc., like, they're only going to bat for one section of the establishment who are at war with another far-right section of the establishment. Mm-hmm. That's all that's happening. So quite a lot of the people that fall in behind Bannon, they are behind the anti-lockdown stuff. Mm-hmm. They're also behind, certainly, obviously, if we bring it back to the topic of this show, immigration, which is why I wanted to show that particular clip in this. They're talking about using immigration. And, you know, just being completely honest, like, they're quite right that, like, Corbyn didn't get to grips with it in the sense of, like, being able to manage that. But that's what happens when, like, somebody gets elected who never wanted to be the leader of the Labour Party and wasn't equipped to do anything about it. It's not criticism, it just wasn't any skill set, was it? And they know that they can, like, obfuscate that whole debate entirely by bringing up things like this. Now, look at some of these talking points. This is some stuff from through the years with the National Front.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see here, it's like, put Britons first, stop immigration, reject the common market. This was from the 70s, I believe. Restore capital punishment. The Tories are giving it some of that.
Yeah.
Britain great again. Where did we see that? What did that develop into when Bannon was Trump's guy?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Scrap overseas aid. You know, that's a huge wedge issue talking point. Rebuild our armed forces. It's all like, I mean, you see now we're in poppy season and you know, America's just like Veterans Day and, you know, it's a part of the Article of Faith flag, troops, you know how it is. Bit more here. Bit later on from the 80s, make Britain great again, National Front says. Also on here, stop immigration. Have you heard the one about the refugee that was refused entry to Britain? No, nor have we. And then there's a number for the National Front, which can fuck off, basically. And this one's a bit, you know, ties it into the time when that clip with Bannon and Farage was going on. And it's obviously, enough is enough. We want our country back, which might as well have been the slogan of the EDL, who've tried to pretend that they weren't like a coalition of fash. Do you get sick and tired that nothing ever appears to work in broken Britain? I mean, like, broken Britain is just like Tory fucking shorthand, isn't it?
Yeah.
And absolutely. It's just family values, immigration and asylum, pint of the fucking usual, you know what I mean? So the reason I want to bring that into this is like the language around this is very important. And obviously you've seen that with invasion and all of this other shit that's being used. What are your thoughts on that?
Actually, I saw National Front were trending on Twitter earlier. You know, when you see something, you just go,
really?
Oh, great.
Oh, good. This can only end well.
That's good. And I looked through most of the comments. I didn't have time to spend loads of time on there. But most of it was what it was about was Suella Braverman and comparing the way she was speaking and the language that she was using to those who remember the National Front in the 70s and 80s. And it was like, yeah, that's actually kind of a fair point. So I think people do, you know, there are people who realise that and can see what's happening. It's the same thing over that we see over and over again. It's the same sound bites, just normally tweaked a little bit, really. Yeah.
Indeed. Well, to your point, there's a short comparison video here, and it's Priti Patel and Suella Braverman. If people could look out, not just what they're saying, but what they're wearing. See you in 7 seconds.
The system is fundamentally broken.
The system is broken. Illegal migration.
So basically, the system is broken, says Priti Patel in 2020, and so does Suella Braverman in 2022. The Tories have been in power for 12 years.
I was just about to make this point, Mike. It's, you know, it's what do they think is happening here? It's, we've talked before how, like, both Labour and the Conservative Party will always kind of go, oh, you know, this is the system we inherited from the other government. And there's only so far you can go with that, isn't there? It's like, if you yeah. haven't been able to sort out the problem that you said you inherited 12 years ago, then no. But there's other things that, you know, there's other things that force, other things that are, you know, that are happening around, you know, around the world. And what we're seeing is, you know, a really cruel policy making is not making it any better. It's making things a fucking hell of a lot worse for all of us.
It sure is. And yeah. obviously we'll be developing that theme as we go on as well. One of the other things that I noticed from that short clip, right? I'm just going to play quickly again.
The system is fundamentally broken.
The system is broken. Illegal migration.
Both of those clips were filmed in October, right? Which is just before poppy season. Both of them are done up like a fucking poppy. Red dress, black bit at the top with Patel. Red dress, black buttons for Suella Braverman. Now, do you know what I would do if I was an evil genius who looks exactly like Steve Bannon, which I'm not, thankfully? I would dress people up, have them look a certain way, and just push them out. Now, I don't want to get into some wild-ass fucking National Front coconut talk. This is not what it is, right? And it's important to fucking say this, right? But at the same time, like, in terms of, like, people project onto people who aren't white, like, they're a monolith or something, like, all fucking Asian people, from South Asian people think this, and, like, that's happened over the years. More and more people are getting wise to this shit as well.
Yeah.
And what people need to get wise to is there's far-right people who aren't white as well, and evil geniuses like Bannon know this. So yeah. look at Candace Owen in America as well. Have a look at who she's married to and also the links to Bannon, but also look at what the fucking state of Kanye West is right now. Possibly one of the most anti-Semitic men on the fucking planet. And it's Candace Owen and her husband who mashed up his head.
Mm.
Oh, part of the strategy is to pick off big influential people with huge social media and fuck their heads. And obviously Kanye West, given the fact that he's had long-standing mental health issues, it's low-hanging fruit for fucking shitbags like that, isn't it?
But he's also massively anti-Semitic as well. I mean, I know he has got mental health problems and he has got bipolar, but I think,
oh, this wasn't me going to bat for that, Daphne.
I know you weren't, but I'm seeing a lot of that at the minute. Almost like,
oh god, stop.
He's obviously having, no. like, you know, and it's just like there's only, yes, okay, but, you know, if you have bipolar, if you have any kind of mental health illness, it's never gonna manifest the same way in you know, in different people. You know, it always looks different, and your life experiences and all the rest of it, and, you know, your social kind of resources all have an influence on that. But in my case, it's, you know, there's got to come a point where it's just like, actually, no, you're just an asshole. There's plenty of people with bipolar, millions across the world, who manage to have manic episodes, you know, without bloody, you know, kind of saying what he did on Twitter. Actually, I nearly repeated it there, and I'm
well, it's not just that. I mean, I don't know if you've seen all the interviews he's done. He's done all kinds of interviews. Yeah. There's a Piers Morgan one. He was on Lex Fridman's podcast. Some of the shit coming out of his mouth's fucking vile. Like,
yeah,
it's like it's unacceptable in any terms.
It's
but
not
Suella Braverman and Priti Patel aren't that far away from, like, that level of racism, and they're government officials.
No, absolutely not.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, and it speaks to that, like, sort of hierarchy of racism, which has been a term much used since the publishing of the Ford report.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's just intrinsic to the Labour Party and just baked into the Labour Party. I mean, quite clearly, the Tory Party, like, I think the Tories, like, and I think people would do well to look into, like, what the energy behind something is, right? Mm-hmm. So why have these people risen to the top within the Conservative Party? We know it's not on fucking merit, unless everybody else that's not getting the job is absolutely fucking had their brains kicked out. Mm-hmm. So what's going on here? And it's like, here's the problem with like a lot of the, like, you've got to dance around this shit. And that's another one of the side things that Bannon knows all too fucking well. And I've been saying this for fucking years. Identity politics and slavish adherence to it is fucking having cunts like Bannon play you like a harp and you don't even realize it. Like, this is fucking what's afoot. And the problem that I've got is like, I'm researching this shit and it's like, I'm a white man. How can I talk about this? Do you get me point?
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying, but we, what do you do? Are you meant to like shy away from things? It is about the way that the minute, you know, this is what it is. It's manipulation. And we have, I think particularly in the UK, I've not lived in other countries. So I can't speak for them, but there's a real lack of like critical thinking skills in this country. Like, there really is. And I think, you know, going back to the manipulation side of things as well, it's like a lack of awareness as well that we can all be susceptible to it. And I think as I'm getting older, that's something I'm really kind of trying to work on like a little bit, because I've seen times where I've seen certain headlines or seen certain things and just instantly like got up a height about it without kind of really thinking about it. Might maybe doing a little further reading about something and, you know, kind of learning a bit more about it. It's just that instant kind of like that instant outrage, really, that we have. And that's
without a doubt, mate. Yeah.
You know, as much as he's a abhorrent person, that's what he's good at and that's what he banks on. And I think if we can, you know, we kind of.
Well, that's what the culture war is. It's about appeals to emotion and like sort of also survival mode stuff as well. Yeah. Like, it works really well in times of scarcity, as we know throughout history. And it leads to really bad things happening. Now, I've got a few more, couple of bits of historical stuff. If you just bear with me. See, when the Airstream crashed before, those slides got bagged out of the fucking thing here. But I found them, and thank God they're still here. So anyway, this was the Daily Mail, and it's a rather famous little cutting this, and it says, German Jews pouring into the country by Daily Mail reporter. See, somebody didn't want to put their name to that, eh, Lord Rothermere? This was before the Second World War, 1930s, and it's just absolutely horrific. I'm not even going to bother reading it out because I've got to keep the show moving. But do you see all of these front covers from the Daily Mail? People asking, how could all of this have occurred? How did this happen? Well, here's one potential thing you could look at. I mean, just for the audio people, it's front page of the Daily Mail. Calais is besieged by gangs of migrants. Open borders, a new fiasco. Calais in crossover, UK. It's just immigration, what a mess. All of that shit. And it's all of that sort of culture war shit mobilizing the right-wing press to like whip up this hostile environment. Now, this cartoon is from Nazi Germany, and it's comparing like migrants, Jewish people to rats. This is from the Daily Mail and also a cartoon. And it is people dressed up as Muslims who are crossing the EU border, and there's rats running alongside them also. So I just wanted to throw them in there just so people could get an idea of like what the historical side of these things are. I mean, what do you make of it? Have you found any kind of like similarities when you've been looking at this stuff?
Yeah, definitely in language. You know, we've long kind of, whenever I kind of talk to people about this, I always tell people to really be mindful of any language that just, you know, starts describing people as like, you know, groups of people as like vermin and rats and stuff. It's always the same propaganda regurgitated all of the time, and it's that, you know, it is that dehumanizing language. And some of they've been interviewing like members of the public over the, you know, kind of the mm-hmm. migrant centre attacks and also the conditions. And it's kind of, you can see some people trying to be really careful about what they're saying, but it's the same mm-hmm. kind of thing. but yeah, it's, you know, we've seen it with the media before, but then you see it with, we've seen it with politicians using words like swarm before as well. Mm-hmm. Anything that kind of suggests a sort of like a plague or an infestation of, you know, as such. And when you do that, it makes it easier to, you know, cause harm to those people either directly or, you know, with the violence of policy, which is what they've been doing. Oh yeah, this is, yeah, she's a Katie Hopkins here. She's a typical example of that.
For audio people, rescue boats, I'd use gunships to stop migrants. It's like one of the things she got fucking loads of shit for at the time, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fucking crazy, isn't it? Isn't it mad?
It's depressing. It's really depressing. I've seen one thing on social media with one of the centres where it was like, oh, look at this picture. And it was, you know, it was a shot from one of the migration centres, I think. And it was all what appeared to be sort of youngish men there. And it was like the same soundbites, oh, all of fighting age and all the rest of it. And it's like, what do you not think? That people get segregated in things, mm-hmm. you know, that actually what you're looking at is where they were, that, you know, they'd kind of put a lot of the male migrants there. We do know that there are, you know, there are kids in there. We've seen photographs, we've seen footage of them, you know, there are little children in there. And the counsellor who I was talking about earlier, who was on TV, he was really aggrieved about these kids and that we have to look after, they've got children and then we have to look after them. It's like, well, of course you fucking do. They're kids. Like, what's wrong with you?
Exactly.
You know, And people talk like this, and, you know, of like some of these awful things that they're saying about send them back, sink the boats, you know, kind of saying really awful things about people who've actually drowned and jeering at it. And you know for a fact that, mm-hmm. you know, the Venn diagram of those people making those comments and people who have had a fucking be kind banner in their Facebook profile picture at some point is like a circle. It's just
indeed it is. Yeah. Check this shit out, man. So for audio people, Daily Mail, teenage migrant drowns in the English Channel while trying to get to the UK. From the Telegraph, Sudanese teenager dies in desperate attempt to reach UK from France. But here's some of these comments, man. Check this out, right? So just a selection, you've got like some laughing Anchorman gif mm-hmm. going. So somebody called John Murray, and I'm going to read their names out, like, good, he says, somebody, Rossi Irvin, good, maybe, then stop trying to come over, good for him, one less to feed, it says here, what else we got, loads of goods, well, that's our kids safe from one of them, teenage, probably mid-30s, illegal drowns, like, just go fuck yourselves, absolutely every single one of us who's can you imagine, man, like we went and just fucking splattered it over somebody's memorial page, like people are like are going like you know, especially now where there's all these appeals to respect during the poppy season, and it's been made into this, like, not for everybody, but it's certainly a far right symbol.
Yeah,
in the UK now, when it's been like misappropriated like that, like this lot, Venn diagram circle with people calling for respect for our veterans, mm-hmm. guarantee it.
Absolutely,
fucking shite as man, like, and what fuck every single one of them. I hope every shite they ever have is a hedgehog.
No, absolutely. And it's, I kind of think if you're one of the people who wrote that, or if you're one of the people who've read that and have agreed with what they've been saying, it's like, what happened to you? Do you, when you kind of pictured how you would be when you were old, is that the kind of person you thought you were going to be like? And I need to kind of really stress that if you have people talking like that on your social media profiles as well, it's worth mentioning that Andrew Leake, this is the guy who's, you know, firebombed the centre and, then gone and killed himself, his Facebook posts have been a lot like that. It's been the same.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Stuff. He's been, those are the kinds of things that he was writing, people saying
How was he in his 60s, wasn't he?
66.
You remember I've been saying that, I've been working on something about the radicalization of boomers by GB News and all this kind of shit.
Yeah.
When this happened, I was like, fuck, I wish I'd put that out like last week. Because it was like fucking so like, this is what I mean.
No, absolutely. And it was, you know, there was people saying that he had lots of social media tirades about asylum seekers and Muslims and all the rest of it. If you know, so if you have somebody who talks like that, and you have that relationship with them, to have a fucking word with them about it, because this is where it
fucking
leads,
right.
Really. And we've seen it time and time
again. No doubt about it, man. This is exactly where it leads. And basically, I've pulled this up here, and I'm going to read a little bit of it just to prove a point. You know yourself, right? We always get like trolled to fuck by like people from all sides of the political spectrum, right?
I've started getting trolled by people who've been banned off Milk the Cow, so they're coming to my page.
Oh, I saw it, man. Jesus Christ. I mean, like, fucking hell. What the actual fuck? But this isn't that cunt. This is like a guy who's an older guy, what I'm talking about, radicalization of boomers. And obviously I've anonymized this, right? But I've looked on his page, because sometimes I do, because I'm just like, well, League of Darkness, mine up. I want to know what you're about. And this one blew me mind. I'm not going to read all this, but it's basically like the illegals, and breaking down how much it costs and all of that, and fucking rah, rah, rah. We've all seen it. But this is what I've found like really intriguing about this particular case. It's a person from the northeast of England, right? And I've often said, and I've talked to people about this, like there's like older, like people who maybe are like trade unionists or socialists, but they're also a little bit like sort of sucked into all this like culture war banning shit, right? Because this goes on and on. I'm not going to bother. It's like keywords, the dole, migrants, refugees, blah, fucking blah. He's posting migration stuff, watch stuff, which is what you would think. But he's sharing stuff from the Morning Star. Class war, a budget for Citibank as in Tory billionaire friends. I mean, what the fuck is that, man? Like, how does that work? Shared this as well. Never cross a picket line. Have you seen that doing the bottom there, bottom right? The black and red star.
Yeah, man. Like,
so this is like never cross a picket line. That's clearly done by people who are like not bothered about refugees, in full support of them, mate. And then it goes back to this, like fact check, missing content, no welfare benefits for illegal immigrants, some so-called British media force. It's like, he didn't share this in 2017, by the way. These memes, like, round these people are just getting recycled and shared again. It was shared, like, last week. The reason I'm putting this up, his whole profile's public. So if it's public, like, you know, and it's anonymized, fair one. So, like, all of this shit as well. Now, I'm not going to, like, read out the last bit, right, because it's like, a family thing. But what he's talking about is, like, you know, like, how he's fallen out with his brother, who's not, like, doesn't believe in all this migration stuff and all of this and immigration. My point is, this is tearing families to absolute shreds. And this guy, he doesn't strike us as being a particularly nasty bastard, right? He's just been indoctrinated by this media that we're presenting, like, here today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever come across people like this in the Northeast or elsewhere?
Well, I've spoken to you about one of my relatives before,
yes.
And we've been saying it's tearing families apart, where we've had a big fallout. You know, there has been a big fallout there, and it didn't start off that way. It was trying to, you know, you try to talk to people, try to meet people where they're at. You know, I do believe that to an extent, and particularly when it's, you know, I think particularly when it's young people as well. You know, we know young lads who, you know, got involved with, well, when they were young lads, got involved with, you know, kind of far right politics and stuff and things
indeed.
Like that. Came out the other end and now try and talk to other kids to stop them doing the same. And, you know, you do have to meet people where they're at. But this guy who I'm talking about, who I, you know, a family member I fell out with, is not young. And, you know, it got to the point where it was just like, I can't waste any more energy on you.
Crazy, really. Isn't it? Yeah, absolutely, so mad.
We don't speak. So that's how it is, really. And nice. I feel all the better for it. But it does happen. I've read a lot of articles with the whole QAnon stuff as well about mm-hmm. people saying that they've just lost family members too, because they've just gone from being the, you know, kind of quite a nice person to being absolutely batshit. Like, yeah.
Well, that's what it is. It's fucking batshit. I mean, there's people in my family who've drank this Kool-Aid, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like yeah. absolutely just soul destroying. But I mean, my parents aren't like this because I have took the time with them, and like, and arguably my mother is more left wing than me now. I mean, mom's a, like, since she's retired, seriously, I think it's just because she's just got time.
And oh, she's like, it's great.
But what they're not doing is letting the wave of GB News, like, in the blue light of fascism, like, fall across their face while they're like retired in the house.
Absolutely.
Like, that ain't happening. They're like seeing through this shit, and I'm proud of them, man. I tell you, maybe they even watched this. I don't know. I might have shown them when I was around there. I don't know. I can't remember. But anyway, I tell you what we'll do, because obviously the crash happened and I had to do a lot of stuff behind the scenes to mm-hmm. like actually get this shit back on the road. So I've missed out on comments. Because when I normally like have a look at comments, I had to sort the slideshows and everything out. So let's yeah. see what people are saying. Mark is saying that's why I try to wear peace poppy, obviously referring to what we're talking about. Poppy.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Steve is saying, if StreamYard will allow this. Come on, man. There we go. We should do something about ill eagles, though. Bird flu is a thing. He's referring to the guy whose shit was shared just now. Charles is saying, that's a new person. Hello, Charles. Nice to see you. I've fallen out with my fascist brother-in-law. Can't listen to him any longer. He's 72. Didn't blame you. Joanna's saying, Mike's mum, fist in the air. Excellent. Fist in the air for the land of hypocrisy from my mum. Seriously, if Zach De La Rocha still snapped his Achilles, I'm sure she could jump on stage and do the Rage Against the Machine tour if they would want to cancel it. Seriously, man, she's like absolutely on it, man. So Imagination Scene is saying, there is footage of all kids together. Funny that doesn't get front page news, right? True story, man. And Jacqueline Hemmings, do they expect us to forget they've been in power for so long and now they're suddenly going to care about the homeless, the veterans and the elderly? It's just sickening. Totally, dude. Absolutely. No problem. Because we have had the crash, you feeling ill?
Yeah.
tell us about it. Tell us what's happening.
No, sorry. I've just like for the last, just while we've been doing the show, I've just like got a really, really bad headache and it's getting worse and worse. And
dude, this is what we'll do, right? I'll wrap the show up, right? Because there's a few bits where we need to like put the solutions and shit in, and like it wouldn't be. And I'm sorry it's went on as long. That crash was a nightmare in the middle with the internet.
But it's fine.
You get yourself off and go and be sick in a bog or something. And I'll see this through at the end there.
Okay, that's great. Okay, good night, everybody. Thank
Love you.
You,
mate, and thanks for like powering through. All the best. See you in a bit.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, bye, bye. That was Alice Wolf there, everybody. We'll get through to the end of the show. Trust me, eventually we'll get there. What an absolute mare we've had, but we're getting it done. I'm going to play you a video, and this is... obviously one of the comments there touched on the children, and this is also ties into the language being used, and this is by the BBC as well. It's not even GB News, but even then, I mean, like I'm saying, the BBC, that's the old ways. They're as bad as anybody these days.
The issue and I've got to raise it of personal responsibility. We've got two 16-year-olds getting into a boat, one of them who can't swim. I mean, it underlines obviously how desperate they are. But there has to be an element of personal responsibility here, doesn't there?
I think we have to remember that we're talking about children, children who very likely don't have any adults with them and are more than likely trying to reach family and friends in the UK. Just earlier this year, the government closed down a route for unaccompanied asylum-seeking children to enter the UK. That means that they're stuck in France with absolutely no way to get to their loved ones and to get to safety. Now, you only get into a boat if you are very, very desperate. And I think at that point, personal responsibility, you know, it isn't irrelevant anymore. And actually, the responsibility is with the British government and with the French authorities, who need to ensure that that kind of person can get here safely and get on with their lives rather than dying in a boat.
Absolutely bang on. And I'm pleased that there's people like her out there to fly the flag for what's good and right. Now, she spoke about like a legal route and how it's been shut down. Currently speaking, there's no legal routes into the UK. So they're trying to make everybody illegal while still having responsibilities under international law to look after refugees. So what we've got here is from the Joint Council for the Welfare of Immigrants, a safe route to asylum in the UK via travel documents from northern France. What is the ask? Asylum seekers in northern France who are seeking to come to the UK should be provided with travel documents, a type of humanitarian visa, to make the crossing safely and have their claim assessed in this country. What else do we have? How would it work? We propose a regulated travel route to allow some people in France to be granted entry clearance to the UK, enabling them to claim asylum here. This will ensure that anyone who has good reason for wishing to make their asylum claim in the UK can do so without resorting to dangerous journeys facilitated by potentially exploitative third parties. Granting people access to travel documents to enter the UK would also remove refugees' liability for prosecution as a regular entrant. The travel documents should be made available to any asylum seeker who can demonstrate that they are reasonably likely to be recognised as a refugee and that it would be reasonable for their claim to be heard in the UK. A good reason might include, but not be limited to, linguistic and community ties to the UK, their experience of hardship in France, and any other vulnerabilities. And so, as you can see there, if there are no legal routes, then what do you think is going to happen? Well, what we'll see, this almost manufactured crisis, and I say almost, the French during the Brexit negotiations offered to have a centre where this could be done on French soil, but with UK government officials. I mean, this already happens because of an agreement between France and the UK. So you have French officials on UK soil and vice versa, and that's to check passports and. So there's like, you know, borders on different soil. And it would take like, you know, putting an additional clause in that agreement. But true to form, the UK government said no and didn't do it. So just a few more bits on potential solutions.
Yeah, not a great deal between the major parties on immigration.
Is there an opposition party that has a better policy for you that you think will work in helping, in your perspective?
We've been disappointed with all of the parties that have come forward with policies recently. Keir Starmer said there's not a great deal between the parties on immigration. He talked about more of the same policies with a points-based system, which sees migrants as commodities rather than people. Mm. Rachel Reeves has also called for more deportations. This is also very disappointing. And, you know, this is all in a period where we see public polling, which shows the UK is more pro-migration than it has been in decades. And, you know, if people want to move there, we should have policies that allow for more movement, so people are allowed to settle here. So that solution is safe routes, it's scrapping the Rwanda plan, it's ending the hostile environment. And like I said earlier, you know, we know that the government can move fast. We've seen this before through the pandemic with the Ukraine plan.
You know, not a great...
Rav from the Council on Immigrant Welfare on BBC London. I mean, as you can see, I mean, the government are taking the piss. I mean, they're doing that whole Bannon playbook culture war thing with people's lives and they're fucking scum. Take it from somebody who went to Calais this summer, saw the fear in what's predominantly young lads' eyes. And I don't know how anybody can be around that or see those people and feel that all of this vile shit that comes out of the mouth is in any way what a human would do. Isn't it ironic that the subhuman talk isn't coming from the vulnerable people who are trying to just flee all kinds? I mean, fucking climate change, like war. I don't give two shits if people are leaving where they're from to try and make a better life for themselves. Like, all this economic migrant shit, just go fuck yourselves. Look at the history of colonialism, and it's in a large part what's went on in Africa is Britain's fault. That then colonialism then turned into private colonial capitalism, and corporations then came into the breach. And they're not sharing the wealth, believe it or not. I mean, you've seen what they're doing in the UK with the oil and gas profits. That's just a name one. That's not being shared about. So what would you do, person who leaves vile comments on the Daily Mail? What would you do? Would you try and make the best life for your children and take them to a place of safety and a place where they could eat? Or would you just sit there and wait to die? Just fuck right off if you're going to just say option B, or I'll stay and fight and all that. What are you going to do? Fight climate change, you fucking dick. But anyway, there's always hope, right? And Alice sent me this earlier, right? And what this is a Nazi turns up at a Scottish school and he's trying to radicalize the young people there. He's even got one of those Nazi sun symbol t-shirts on. But this is what the kids did.
Yeah, how can you say you like Hitler when one of your great-grands were sitting in their house when the war was going on?
Well, if you let me explain, mate, Hitler wanted a country for white people. He also wanted a country for every other people, right? He wanted a country for you, he wanted a country for... Every people had to have a unique culture, right? And obviously, there was a small group of from all of the media, all of the band, and this small group... And this small group, obviously, they promoted pornography, they promoted promoted cultural Marxism. It destroyed Germany, right? And Hitler took control of the media, the banks, and they obviously put interests of the German.
Yeah,
it's a Holocaust feel.
No, it's not. Country in your. You obviously don't. I'm here for. Help you guys.
What? Oh, are you? Get Douglas again.
For audio people, that's the Nazi being chased down the street by a group of kids right at the end. Just didn't have any audio on, but we thought we'd leave it in because it's always nice seeing Nazis getting chased down the street. So, I mean, these are where the solutions come from. Challenge this wherever you are. Like, big up those kids in Scotland chasing off an actual Nazi down the street. And what an absolute sack of shit going to the school gates to radicalize kids, man, with your little daft Nazi shirt. Ridiculous. But there's you getting mugged off, squaring up to a young kid, squaring up to you, and you're like, what are you gonna do? What a mug, man. Shut the fuck up. So these are the solutions. Challenge this, man. Like, don't be like sort of reduced by this whole fucking nightmare that we're living in. Better to die on your feet than to live on your knees. Let's not hide. I mean, Jesus Christ, it took me a while to get my face out on screen, but here I am. Hello, every fascist out there. Fuck yourself. Anyway, this has been Cow Weekly. Really sorry that Alice couldn't make it at the end, but that's sick note for you. Now get well soon, mate. Hopefully you're listening to this and not having the Armitage Shanks logo tattooed on your forehead. But if you are, hopefully there's somewhere that there that holds your fake hair. That's a weave, yo. Take some comments before we go, though. As well, that would be cool. Dave Slaz, those kids are mint. Definitely. Joanne saying, big up the Waynes. Love that. Miss Hemmings, the kids are all right. Always, mate. Always. Charles saying, thank you. No, thank you, mate. Hopefully I don't have to do too much of burning the midnight oil tonight, trying to like weave all of this stuff together. That was like when the live stream crashed. But that's the game. If you want to support our work, please go to patreon.com/cowdaily. There you can make a regular contribution to our work. Also, you've got early access to the Laura Pidcock podcast, which is an absolute banger. Laura Pidcock is absolutely one of your own. You know how you can't trust people and whatever, and you can trust her. Like, I spent more than enough time chatting to her there, and I'm from the same area she is, and I know she's one of the real ones. So she definitely gets our seal of approval. So go and check that out. Go into the Patreon. Also, you can go to links in the description and make one-off donation via PayPal if you wish. Big up absolutely everybody who's done that. Also, final word for JC. No, not that one. On YouTube, no Passeran. Also, tune into Political Unmuted, Socialist Think Tank at 9 p.m. Plenty of time to get a brew and all that. All love for you as ever, pals. Been one of them. We've worked hard on this one today and it didn't quite go to plan, but we'll bash on and hopefully you got a lot out of it and we'll be here. What day is it? Wednesday. Laura Pidcock podcast being released 12 noon tomorrow. Check it out. See his fellow live on Thursday. Much love to all as ever. Bye-bye now. Love yous.